Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
On today's episode of the HR Room Podcast, we're going to be dissecting an area that in 2021 still feels like a taboo subject, the matter of menopause in the workplace. Recent CSO statistics state that there are over 300,000 women employed in Ireland between the ages of 45 and 64, meaning that a lot of women are actually working through this stage in their lives. Now, even though I'm a woman in her mid-30s, I actually know very little about menopause and how it affects women in the workplace, so I'm really looking forward to this episode and delighted to say that we are joined by Nicola Wolfe, co-founder of Wolfe Improve, an Irish company that specialises in individual and organisational development and improvement. Now, Nicola is also a certified mental health and wellbeing practitioner and last year founded the Menopause Maze programme, designed to offer support and coaching to women as they navigate this complex time in their lives. So thanks a million for joining us today, Nicola. We're delighted to have you on board.
No problem, Sarah. Delighted to be here. Thanks.
And what would we be without Insight HR's founder and managing director, Mary Cullen? Hi, Mary.
Thanks, Sarah. Hello, how are you?
So, Nicola, I wonder, could you maybe just kick things off by telling us a little bit about yourself and the work you do with the Menopause Maze?
Yeah, sure. My background is nursing. I trained many moons ago now in mental health and in intellectual disability nursing. And then from there, I moved into nurse education. So I was a nurse lecturer for a little while. And after that, myself and Joe set up Wolfe Improve Limited. So we provide, as you said, support to health and social care services nationally around organisational development, quality and audit, regulation requirements and specific healthcare training. As a result of my own personal journey over the past number of years, I decided last year after some experience with a number of women who I was coaching and my own personal experience that really menopause is just not thought about. It's an absolute fact. All women who reach this stage of our lives, midlife, and some before will progress through to menopause, but we're not prepared. There's insufficient education. There's insufficient conversation and compassion with regard to this time of a woman's life. And as a nurse, I kind of probably arrogantly felt, I know what that's about. Your periods stop and that's it. I know what's involved, but I really hadn't a clue and was totally blindsided by the array of symptoms I've experienced and the impact they've had on me physically and psychologically. And I know that I'm not remotely alone in feeling that way. So because of that, I felt, you know, that's not good enough, really, that this affects 50% of the population of the world and we're expected just to muddle through. So I put together an educational program that addresses physical and psychological impacts of menopause. And so women understand what actually is involved, both in terms of the journey during the years of perimenopause, but also post-menopause, because that piece doesn't end. And that has an impact on our health. And I also then added on to that a coaching aspect to it so that women can work with me one-to-one, because many of the women I was coaching, although they came to me for any number of different reasons, I'd say 8 out of 10 of them fundamentally ended up talking about what was going on for them in terms of their menopause. And often that was at the root of the issue. So I thought that's why it was needed to have some sort of education, both for the women, but also for employers and employees. Overall education is needed. So that was where it came from.
Thanks a million, Nicola. I'm just wondering, like, what are some of the challenges that women who would be experiencing menopausal symptoms or indeed perimenopausal symptoms, what are some of the challenges that they might face at work?
Well, I suppose to begin with, it's the fact that perimenopause can begin from your late 30s, early 40s. And obviously for women who have medical issues in terms of like premature ovarian insufficiency or as a result of chemotherapy or surgeries or things like that, they could even experience perimenopause much earlier than that. 40s, women's hormones change and they begin to shift, the rise and fall, and it's kind of a roller coaster. So for a number of years, there are subtle symptoms that won't necessarily be picked up as being an absolute symptom of perimenopause. And because we're not educated, that makes that worse. And employers aren't educated. So the chances are that the employer will perhaps wonder what's going on for a woman, but won't think, I wonder, is she experiencing perimenopausal symptoms? It's not the first thing that comes to mind. So there can be, that's a problem to begin with, that lack of awareness. So the woman doesn't necessarily term it as perimenopause, and neither does the employer. Then the actual symptoms are anything from a loss of confidence, a loss of self-belief, cognitive issues like, you know, brain fog, not being able to find the words that you want to use. Very obvious little words, nothing quite elaborate, just your standard conversation, literally being stuck for words because your brain is trying to work through porridge really to get to the word. And that can be really quite upsetting and distressing and very worrying for a woman because she can actually believe she's dementing. There's also then the physical symptoms of that, which are just look, anything from your hair changing in texture to your skin becoming itchy and feeling like you have insects crawling underneath it, to dry eyes, to this, you know, this the standard hot flushes that we are all aware of, to really awful experiences in terms of periods, you know, flooding through your clothes, needing to change your sanitary products very quickly, not being able to sleep, being exhausted, feeling really fatigued, aches and pains, joint discomfort. I could go on, Sarah. Unfortunately, estrogen, well, fortunately and unfortunately, estrogen makes us wonderful and it also causes us grief. Estrogen is in, there are receptors for estrogen in every single cell of our bodies. So when our hormones drop, which they fundamentally do, although they might go up and down to begin with, they fundamentally drop. When they drop, the impact of that is felt in every cell of our body. So the symptoms are very wide and varied, and it can be very challenging for a woman who often in midlife is holding down a considerable role. You know, you'll have people who are in middle management, senior management, executive positions faced suddenly, like they're blindsided, like they've been hit by a truck with all these symptoms when they would have perhaps been functioning at a very high, very dynamic level. And suddenly they can't find the word for the kettle. Or they're in a meeting discussing something they're extremely familiar with and they can't string a sentence together because they're exhausted. So they're, that's really challenging, and it's very difficult for some women to remain working because of those symptoms. And things like accessing toilets, accessing cold water, but there's a whole array of difficulties that the woman can experience.
Yeah, I can completely imagine that must be very challenging to have to put up with kind of that while you're still trying to fulfill your role to the best of your abilities. Like the thing about brain fog, that would just be terrifying, I think. And I mean, I think even women who menstruate probably get these symptoms in a lesser way. Like, I mean, PMS is a big thing in the workplace as well, isn't it? And it can really affect, you know, your concentration levels and your comfort while at work too. So yeah, gosh, it's really challenging, and I don't know why we don't speak about it a little bit more. Mary, what do you think is the role of HR when it comes to menopause in the workplace?
Yeah, well, I mean, just before I answer that, Sarah, I think it's fascinating to hear Nicola talk about a subject that just isn't discussed. It's, you know, lots of women don't even discuss it in their own homes. So it will give you a flavour of just how taboo the topic is, you know, that it isn't something that somebody might necessarily even discuss with their partner or their children. I know certainly I never had a discussion with my own mother about menopause. It just simply wasn't the thing to do. And likewise, you know, there are topics for women in particular like miscarriage, like menstruation, like a whole range of things that are particular to women that aren't discussed. So when it comes to HR, you know, their first thing to do, I would think, would be around the whole area of awareness, training for line management, support for those who are going through menopause, reasonable accommodation in terms of, you know, what somebody might need. Like Nicola said, do people need access to cold water, ventilation? You know, are there special things that the company can do to support that person during that period? Do they need additional support in terms of employee assistance? For each woman, it's different. And there aren't just a clear set of symptoms that can be identified. But I guess it's like everything. It's like mental health. It's like miscarriage in the workplace. If we don't create the opportunities for people to discuss these really important topics that are having a massive impact on somebody's life, then we are going to lose talent from the organization. And we are in particular going to lose women from the organization. And I think it's really important that organizations are working hard to support everyone within their organization and not having taboo subjects.
Yeah, completely agree. Nicola, like, what would your opinion be? Like, how should an employer or an organization actually support women at work who are experiencing perimenopause and menopause?
It's awareness and conversation. That's the starting point, I think. Like Mary said, she didn't have a conversation with her mum about menopause. I didn't have, my mum died when I was young, but I didn't have a conversation with any older woman. All through my adult life, I would say that I haven't heard a woman who was senior to me talk about her journey in perimenopause. It was just this thing that it happens and yet nobody speaks of. Which is really odd, really, that, you know, 50% of the population will experience this. So the very first piece, I think, is for an organization to recognize that if they're employing women, then the chances are, even if they're not often in midlife, if they're even younger, the chances are some of them, because 1 to 10% of women will experience early menopause. So the chances are some of them will be going through at some stage of their perimenopause journey. And that once you acknowledge that, then what can you do? Well, first of all, you need to be educated yourself. Now, you don't need to be an expert. You don't need to have specialist training. You need to have an understanding. You know more than you have specialist training around pregnancy, but you support women who are pregnant. You need to have an understanding of what perimenopause and menopause entails. You need to appreciate the fact that it can go on for years. So it's not just reasonably accommodating a woman for 6 months or a year. It's recognizing that this woman may need that accommodation for many years, because the symptoms can last for, perimenopause symptoms can last up to 10 years, and symptoms can persist into postmenopause for some women for the rest of their lives. Others will finish up with some of the symptoms, but it doesn't end. So there needs to be a recognition that when a woman approaches 40 on, something else needs to be thought about in the workplace. Workplaces and work practices are not set up with an sort of an intention to consider the needs of women in that age group. And the I think now, Mary, you'll know more than I about this, but the percentage of women employed in that age group is the lowest percentage. As you age, the highest percentage is in their 20s, 30s, and then it begins to drop off. And certainly like over 65, that's much less than male employment. And in the 45 to 55 range, I think it's quite low as well in comparison to men. As I said, Mary, you know more about those figures than I. But if you think about losing all that excellence, like, and that quality, it's just so sad that it doesn't have to be that way. Have a conversation, educate yourself so that you are open to hearing a woman's communication. Be aware of the fact that not all women, in fact, many women will not be comfortable talking to their line managers if they're male, or if the line manager is younger than them, because there is this lack of awareness. Now, I think that's getting better. I was recently interviewed by a man from the Bank of Ireland Business, Think Business magazine, and he was much more compassionate than I think an older generation of man might have been, because it just wasn't spoken about. Also, I think there's been a tendency at times to think, well, I knew my mom experienced A, B and C, so this is probably what this woman is experiencing, whereas that's not the case at all. As Mary said, we all have very individual journeys. We share maybe common symptoms, but it's a very individual journey. So there's a real need for an openness to communicate, seeking out education, proper education and training, and being compassionate is hugely important. A woman is made feel so much worse by a lack of compassion. I mean, that applies to any number of things in the workplace. But if you have a middle-aged woman who is good at her job, wants to keep going on at her job, and feels she's losing ground and feels she no longer can, to, you know, she doesn't have the skills or the whereabouts to do it anymore, and how distressing that must be for her, then to be faced with an uncompassionate attitude will be awful. You know, you need to be open.
Can I ask you, Nicola, and sorry, Sarah, for jumping in and asking questions at this point in time, but can I ask you, when it comes to women themselves, do you believe women want to discuss these kind of topics in the workplace, or do you think that they will still wish to have a certain amount of privacy when it comes to it? Like you have said, I have never had a conversation with any older woman about menopause in my life. I have spoken to women of my age about symptoms that they may be having, but I have never spoken to anyone older than me about this topic. So it really is something that has been taboo, but women themselves choose to keep it private.
I think, absolutely, you should have the freedom to decide if you wish to disclose your own personal information. Absolutely, and you certainly shouldn't be forced to do it. But it shouldn't be that you have to hide it, because it's not possible to share it, which is a different position. You know, so if I know that I can come to you and talk about menopause if I needed to, but I actually don't want to, but I know I could, that is an entirely different, more empowered position to be in than if I know I can't say a word of this to Mary, because as soon as I say it, I'm out the door. Do you know, it's a different place. And if you think, like, neither of us have spoken to older women, that says a huge amount about how embedded this taboo is. It's going on for years, and it's also a Western culture thing. We have this, estrogen is hugely connected with our relevance as women, which is ridiculous, really. We are so much more than any of our hormones. I mean, they're magic things, we need them, but we're so much more than them. And yet we are often felt to be, and I think given the message that we are, no longer relevant when we get to midlife, that the focus is now on the younger woman coming up behind you, that we don't have the same contribution to make. And that's about, I mean, that's ridiculous, but it is about how, as a culture in the West, we perceive women. In the East, it's the second spring. That's what menopause is viewed as. It's termed the second spring, that you can have this chance to, you know, be more empowered, be freer, have a wisdom to share with others that you have from that you've gained over the years and can rightfully call your own. Whereas in the Western cultures, you're more likely to be invisible and made feel invisible as you age. I know I certainly have felt invisible in the past 10 years, and I don't think I'm a shrinking violet, or I don't think I'm reticent, but I have felt it, that I'm no longer relevant.
So just coming back to then how an employer can actually support their employees that may be experiencing this. Like, Nicola, what reasonable adjustments can be made to accommodate a woman at work who is experiencing symptoms?
Okay, so to start off, if the line manager, the employer, understands what the symptoms are, then that will immediately help them put in place what the reasonable adjustment should be. So things like access to toilet facilities, and not just limited to break times. In some settings, that can be quite restrictive, but that needs to be absolutely facilitated. I mean, the Joe Duffy show recently talked about a woman who couldn't access a toilet when she was bleeding heavily because she was driving a bus and there were no toilets open during COVID-19. So a double whammy. So that's not acceptable, that a woman's dignity is disregarded because an adjustment is not made, some sort of accommodation is not put in place. So toilet facilities, cold water, blinds on a window, because we are, that what happens with us when we are in this stage of our lives is that that we have a thermoregulatory zone that shrinks, it gets narrower. So normally it's, you know, wide and we can move up and down in between it, and we don't either go very hot and we don't go very cold. We maintain this regulation throughout. However, in this stage of our lives, due to hormonal changes, this zone shrinks, becomes quite narrow, and it takes very little to tip us either into a hot flush or a cold stage. So you don't, it's not pleasant to be in either. In fact, they're really uncomfortable. It's not just an inconvenience, they're actually really unpleasant. So something as simple as sitting at a desk at a window with the sun blaring down on you, could a blind be put up to shield you from the heat? Could a window be open? Could a door be left open? Could the temperature and the air conditioning be adjusted so that it doesn't freeze everyone else? Obviously you can't do that, but that you have a comfortable environment for the woman. Can she have free access to toilets, as I said? Is there a uniform that's used in the area? What type of uniform is that? Is it very heavy? Could there be adjustments made to that? Could a second uniform be available? Also, in terms of the fatigue and the insomnia, there are other considerations to think about, like flexible times, you know, coming into work at a flexible time. So if a woman has had zero sleep or a couple of hours only, and that can be, I mean, I'm not exaggerating that, that is often the sleep. It may only be a couple of hours sleep. And if she has that and is then still supposed to be at work at 8 a.m, but is utterly shattered, is there any means that she could then avoid going into work at 8 and maybe come in at 10? Is it possible to not schedule an early morning meeting when she could be completely exhausted, and could that be scheduled a bit later? If she's experiencing severe flushes and gets up in the morning, has her shower, dries her hair, ends up having another severe flush, has to go back into the shower, is delayed and frantic and stressed trying to get into work, is there anything that can be put in place to make that easier? Because the stress is a huge contributor to how severe the symptoms are. So if we can think about that, the stress the woman is under and the environment she is in, what can be done to try and reduce the stress and adjust the environment to lessen the impact of the symptoms?
That goes back, Nicola, doesn't it, to general office design in a way. And there probably is a good opportunity now for employers to actually factor in this thinking, particularly at a time when they're looking at how they're using their office spaces going forward, and looking at maybe making those more collaborative. Now, I know that won't work for frontline workers, you know, those people who got to attend a place of work every single day of the week. But at the same time, I think employers could factor it in if they're spending money on redesigning at the moment. But again, I would imagine that HR are going to have to champion this particular topic and bring it into the organisation and raise awareness. And in terms of raising awareness, do you have any particular approach that you would recommend?
Well, I would ask employers if they have a guidance document or policy or, you know, procedure, whatever they want to frame it as, but something that's concrete and tangible that illustrates that we are giving this consideration, that we are actually putting pen to paper and, you know, signing up to something in terms of supporting a woman in the workplace during these years. So I would recommend that they do that, and that from that, then they also look at like Women's Health Day, which is, I think, in May, World Health Day for Women. And then in October, there's the Menopause Day. So, and that you use those opportunities to again flag, we are an employer who is aware of this and we are buying into it to support women. So that will create an impression, I think, will help grow a culture that is open and expecting conversations around menopause. So, and all of that then is the foundation to then, putting in place then some training. I do think training is really important, not just for the women themselves. I think it should be for everyone. So you can have training for everyone as in terms of a general understanding of what is involved in menopause, because women can feel very humiliated at times in the workforce when they're experiencing some fairly tough symptoms. For example, you'd never really hear of a pregnant woman being laughed at. You hear of compassion and support. But if a woman at my age of life talks about how she's had a hot flush, it is often a bit of a joke or a giggle. And it's anything but that. And so the education is needed, I think, to appreciate what a woman is trying to manage while also trying to get on with her work. So that education for everyone, and then perhaps specific, more informed education for the women, and access to, like you also said it yourself, maybe more employee assistance access. You could put in, again, coaching throughout for women who are struggling. Like, it's not every woman will struggle, so some women will sail through it, but probably 8 out of 10 women won't, and of that 8 out of 10, probably 2 might consider giving up their work because of the severity of the symptoms. So it's terrible that would be lost without putting in some effort. So that sort of developing the culture, providing the training, and being open to have the conversations, and also bearing in mind that a woman, as you said, might not want to talk about it, but might not want to talk about it to a younger person or a male colleague. So is there provision for her to talk to someone else?
Yeah, I also think it's important that, as we pointed out, that neither of us had ever had a conversation with our mothers or an older person about menopause. Sarah, I don't know if, you have ever had a conversation with anyone yourself who's older than you. But that probably means that women themselves don't understand what they might encounter as they go through perimenopause and menopause itself. And sometimes that lack of knowledge is making the situation even more difficult, because I would guess that many women feel that maybe they're experiencing some other kind of a health issue when suddenly they're experiencing hot flushes or itching or, thinning of hair or whatever it might be, whatever those symptoms might be. I would imagine that it can cause deep concern for people, simply because they don't have that knowledge passed down from mother to daughter or family, parents to children. And it's simply just not talked about, and it's still not talked about. And even to have conversations amongst your friends, it is only when women are there. It's certainly not. I've never had such a conversation in the presence of a man.
No, it is still when women are there. And I think because we haven't had the education. And so I mean, I have plenty of education in terms of nursing and healthcare and all various bits and pieces. And I would have thought, I know what that is. And yet I hadn't a clue. And that disempowers us as women. It is, from my perspective, the fact that we are not educated about perimenopause and menopause, that we do not get adequate care in this stage of our lives, is the biggest healthcare gap for women. Absolutely. Because not only does the menopause, perimenopause journey and menopause cause you symptoms that are unpleasant and challenging, the impact of the lack of estrogen on us as we age is only really now being understood, because 100 years ago we died in our 50s. So there was only a couple of years after menopause. Menopause happens around 51. It was only a couple of years after that you were dead, it didn't matter. But now we live for 25 to 40, 45 years longer. in an estrogen deficient state. And we now know that the absence of estrogen causes us health problems. It's not just, I mean, this is a natural process. I'm not disputing that. And I don't want to medicalize it because it is a natural process for all women. But the absence of estrogen increases our risk of brain disease and of heart disease and of bone disease, all of which kill more women than men, and all of which are prevented by estrogen. So we can't ignore, or we would be foolish to ignore, the impact of an estrogen deficient number of years on us in terms of our health. And because we didn't have the education, we were disempowered. So we couldn't be proactive because we didn't have the information. And that's my main, I'm passionate about that, that we must be informed as women in order to be proactive about how we take care of our health. And that should be happening in our 20s and our 30s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm educated now about menopause, but that's only in the past number of years. And I have lost years in which I could have made some difference. Now I'm still going to now take action, but we should have known that before.
Mm. And I mean, like you say, the consequences for businesses and organizations who don't actually kind of put in place some kind of plan to tackle this or to raise awareness in the workplace, like the consequences really are that you could be losing employees. But there might also be like legal implications. Mary, I might just ask your opinion on that. Like, I know that the Equality Acts don't expressly provide protection for menopause or perimenopause. But if an employee feels that they've been discriminated against in their employment, you know, and it's kind of related directly or indirectly to them having menopausal symptoms, like, can they seek legal remedies if they've suffered discrimination or harassment on the grounds of sex or disability or age?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it only takes one person to come forward and test the legislation. But yes, they would be fully protected on all of those grounds. And, you know, in real terms, from an employer and risk perspective, you know, I have certainly noticed over the last number of years that people are starting to talk about menopause and perimenopause. Not enough, but the conversation is starting to happen at a kind of low level. Organizations are certainly behind. You can hear it in the media where women are starting to come out and speak about these issues. But organizations are still too far behind on topics like this and miscarriage and, you know, mental health. You know, we're still not far enough ahead in this day and age on these issues. But all of these things are equality issues. And, you know, while there is no case law that I'm aware of in Ireland at the moment, and I could stand corrected there, I'm sure if there's any employment lawyers listening out there to our podcast, there may be something brewing or there may be something that I haven't seen yet. But I haven't yet seen a woman take a case to say that she was discriminated against in the workplace because she was menopausal. But I guess if women aren't discussing it, if they're not bringing it to the attention of their employer, if they're not, you know, explaining to their employer if there are performance issues, what factors may be at play, then I guess the whole area of litigation isn't there yet. But I believe it will come in time as women are more confident about speaking about these really important issues, things that fundamentally affect so many people. Our population is aging as well. And so we would expect to see more older people in the workplace in the years ahead, where this is going to become a real issue.
There have been some cases in the UK, one by women and under the equality laws, and where menopause has been viewed as a disability under the disability covering
for that. Yeah. And I think it will be only a matter of time. I don't believe, I haven't I'm not aware of any case in Ireland at the moment, but I don't believe, I think it would have hit the headlines if there had been something. But I'm open to stand to be corrected on that point as well.
Let us know if you've heard of any cases in the Irish media. Let us know. You know, we were talking about kind of education and raising awareness. Nicola, like, whom should be providing this education or these kind of, who should be facilitating these awareness campaigns, and to whom should it be provided? Like, is it simply just line managers? Is it the entire organization?
I think everybody needs education, because I think then it becomes an understood topic by everyone, and it's no longer hidden. It's not just a specific group of people that have that bit of knowledge or information and nobody else knows about it. I think everybody needs to know about it so that there isn't a continuation of, you know, like myself and Mary said, never having had a conversation with anybody about menopause. You know, that seems just crazy, but yet it's the fact. So the more people that are educated, then the less likely that will be continued. In terms of who provides it, you do need, I would say me, I provide it, but also you do need people that have particular training. So I've trained with the International Menopause Society and also with the British Menopause Society. And so I would have a good understanding, as well as with my nursing qualifications, I'd have a good understanding as to what information is necessary to what level. You don't need to be, you know, as a line manager and an employer, you don't need to be an expert in menopause. That's unnecessary. You need to understand what's involved and how that can present itself and what the impact is on the woman, and then what possible opportunities there are for you to support that woman and other employees when they're experiencing these symptoms. So you do need people who are up to speed with contemporary information, scientific, evidence-based information. There has been a lot of myths around menopause. The 2002 study with the Women's Health Initiative, where a whole load of women came off HRT because of sensationalized, incorrect reporting of a study and how that then impacted on people's health. So you don't want to be in any way misinforming anyone. You want to be confident that the training you're given, that you are giving, is correct and is evidence-based and reflects contemporary best practice and understanding and contemporary guidelines like the NICE guidelines in the UK. There are issues in Ireland where there hasn't been a specialist role in terms of medicine with regard to menopause. There are gynecologists, there are endocrinologists, there are GPs, there are practice nurses, but none particularly completely focused on menopause. So there is a national issue in terms of education across the board around menopause, but that is improving. So you want to be certain the information you're giving your employers and their employees is correct. Because the last thing you want to do is to worsen a situation for a woman, to add to the stigma she maybe already feels, to not acknowledge the severity of some of the symptoms. You need to have a properly informed individual training.
That's great, Nicola. And how could people actually get in touch with you if they want to find out a bit more?
Well, you can get in touch through my email is nicola@menopausemaze.ie. I'll just give you that one for the menopause issue. Mm-hmm. And there's my website is menopausemaze.ie.
Perfect. That's brilliant. We'll put that in the little episode notes as well, so people can contact you there. I think that's all we have time for today. Now, before we wrap up, I might just give you my three key takeaways that I got from today's episode. So my takeaway number one is that menopause can really have a serious impact on a woman's confidence in her ability to fulfill her role. She might experience brain fog, which to me just sounds awful. I do get it already a bit, so I can only imagine how much worse it could be during this stage of my life. And by brain fog, we mean like not being able to find the words that you're looking for, or feeling not being able to kind of figure things out as quick as otherwise. It can also lead to physical symptoms, however, and I think that's an important one to know. So, you know, as well as the hot flushes, which we're all aware of, it can also lead to feeling like your skin is crawling, you've got dry eyes, you could have heavy flows of blood. It's not a particularly pleasant experience for women who go through those symptoms. My second point then is that the starting point for any organization really is awareness and conversation. So you need to be educated and learn about what actually happens during perimenopause and menopause. And there needs to be a recognition that from the age of 40, women may need certain accommodations to be able to complete their role comfortably. So consider things like access to toilet facilities, cold water, blinds on a window, temperature and air conditioning. Do what you can to ensure that comfort levels are not compromised. And my third takeaway is really that if you don't do these things, then you could be at risk of losing valuable employees, you know. And not only that, you could also find your organization at the center of an equality dispute. So it's really important that you do start to kind of think about this and start putting plans in place there for how you're going to provide this reasonable accommodation and support to women experiencing these symptoms. So thanks to Nicola and to Mary for joining us today. And thanks to our listeners also for joining us. We'll catch you all on another episode of the HR Room podcast very soon. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.